Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What did you want to be when you grew up? You remember being asked that question in school? I know that I was asked that several times between kindergarten all the way up through high school and then even in college. And of course, like any young child, when I was younger, I went through several different answers to that question before finally settling on the one that I stuck with. First, I remember when I was much, much younger, like preschool, kindergarten, that age range, I was obsessed with fire trucks. And so I really wanted to become a firefighter. And then I looked at what my dad did on a regular basis and thought, no, maybe I want to be a pastor. And then so that around middle school or so, I was doing some like robotics class and that kind of thing. Robotics club and the like, and I was thinking, no, maybe this is what I want to do. I started toying with the idea of studying engineering. But then around when I went to the National Youth Gathering in high school, I finally decided, or came back to, the thing that had been on my mind or on my heart ever since I was young, that no, God really is calling me into ministry to be a pastor. Hence, I'm up here right now. For a child, that question can be rather challenging as they aren't really sure of who they are, what they're good at, or what their place in the world is going to be or should be. In our Old Testament reading today, God actually answers that question for the prophet Jeremiah of who he is and what his place in the world is, and thereby for us answers that question also. And so in our Old Testament reading, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." God says he has known Jeremiah forever. How incredible it is to think for us that before Jeremiah was born, God knew him. Now, for you parents out there, I imagine that as soon as you found out that you were going to have a baby, you were excited, you were thinking about what this could mean for you, for your family, who this child could be, and what they would be like. Would they pick up all of the good things from me, or would they only repeat those words that I wish I hadn't used around them? But here, God is saying that it's even before then, even before Jeremiah's conception, God knew him. Even before Jeremiah's parents were born, God knew him. Before I formed you in the womb, before you were born, God knew him even before that, even before the foundation of the world. God knew what his plans were for Jeremiah. Every day of Jeremiah's life, God had already seen. God had already seen all of that joy, all of that sorrow, and Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet for a reason. But God had already seen what it would be. And he had called him to be a prophet even before he had existed. That's what it means to say that we have an all-knowing God. How incredible it is just how much God knows. Now, it's tempting for us to look at that and say that it only applies to the great men and prophets, that God knows who Jeremiah is because Jeremiah is going to write a book that stays in the Bible, or a book in the Bible, but that it doesn't apply to the rest of us. But that couldn't be further from the truth. God has known you that long also. In Isaiah chapter 44, the prophet says, "Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." God has known Israel and by extension you forever. God knew you from the womb, from before the womb. God knew you. God chose you as his child. Before you were a twinkle in your mother's eye, God knew you. Before you were born, God had already outlined and looked ahead at everything to know about you. God chose you to be his own before the foundation of the world. That's what it says when it says that God has written your name in his book of life. From before the foundation of the world, you were his. What comfort it is for us to be known, so known by God. It is easy for us to fall into this despair of thinking that we are just disposable, interchangeable, non-essential cogs in the wheel of the world. That if I were to quit, then someone else would come in and take my job in a matter of days. We look at how far above us God is and think that there's no way that he could actually care about us low down as we are in creation. And yet, that's not true at all. God knows you. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Even the hairs of your head are all numbered." God loved you enough to create you, even knowing how you would rebel against him, how you would sin against him. God created you. God sent his son to redeem you, to die, to forgive you. God loves you intimately. And he knows you so intimately because he created you. Who knows a child better than their parents? Only God, who likewise created them. In Psalm 139, it says that you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. A child is made by their parents, but God is the one guiding the hands. I imagine it almost like God is sitting there with a pair of knitting needles, knitting you together, forming you in the womb. This is what makes abortion so tragic, because abortion is destroying a life that God had created, a child whom God knew and for whom God had planned out a future. That is why we encourage women to choose life, why we do everything we can to support those experiencing pregnancy-related concerns or who are raising children by themselves, because these children have been known and created and loved by God, and he loves them. We have been known by God, and God has created us for a purpose. From his birth, God says that Jeremiah was called to serve him. There was no time when Jeremiah was not intended to be God's prophet. Being the son of a priest, Jeremiah probably expected that he would follow his father into the priesthood, to serve at the temple in Jerusalem. Unlike today, if you were born the son of a priest, you were actually expected to go into the priesthood because it was, for lack of a better, inherited. And yet, God had other plans. God had, instead of choosing Jeremiah as a priest, God had chosen Jeremiah as a prophet to proclaim a hard message to the people of Judah, to declare to them God's coming judgment, and to call them to repentance. God had not given him an easy task to perform, but he had promised to be with him through it. Now, many children and young adults grow up rather unsure of what they are to do. One of my cousins actually cycled through a half dozen different options between high school and college of what he wanted to study or what profession he wanted to go into before he finally picked the one that he is in right now, and one in which he is quite content. Another of my uncles went back to school in his 50s to change careers. How many college students do we know who have changed majors multiple times, not knowing what they are supposed to study because they don't know what they're going to do? And yet, if you were one of these unsure of where to go, imagine what it would feel like if suddenly you just knew. Everything is laid out in front of you. You know exactly where you are to study. You know exactly what you are to study. You know exactly the career that you are going to go into, the house you're going to live in because it's one that you can afford, the right career to support your family and retire. Wouldn't that just take so much weight off your shoulders? Now, God doesn't usually reveal that much detail about our lives. Christians can and do still waffle on the question of a profession or career. If it took you a while, if you are still trying to figure it out, that's okay. That is, in fact, that's the joy that we get from this, from our doctrine of vocation, knowing that God has called us to whatever walk of life we are in. We are free to serve God by serving our neighbor, regardless of the career or profession or job that we go into. Whether you are a pastor or a pizza delivery driver, a deacon or a dishwasher, a teacher or a technician, your work is valuable to God. And your work enables you to serve God by serving your neighbor. However, there is one part of our life on which God is absolutely certain that God has called you to faith. How do you know? Because you have been baptized. In baptism, God has placed his name on you, and God has sealed you as his, washing you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are called, and God has a purpose for you to serve him and serve your neighbor. God's purpose is for you to serve him in the ways for which he has created you. Now, Jeremiah was called and consecrated from the womb to serve God as a prophet. God placed his word into Jeremiah's mouth. God sent Jeremiah to preach to both the Israelites and the Gentiles to proclaim the words that God would give him to say. And this was not an easy calling. It was not a peaceful life. Jeremiah suffered for his message. He was arrested and thrown in prison. He experienced siege and warfare. Jeremiah knew all of this was going to happen, and yet God had called him to warn the people that this was coming because of their faithlessness, and yet he knew they would not listen. There is, after all, a reason Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. However, God had still promised that he would be with Jeremiah despite all of the trouble and danger that he faced. He says, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. God promised to deliver Jeremiah from danger, and God does the same for us. Now, Jeremiah is a special case. Your calling may not be as a prophet, but God still has a calling for you in which to serve him. God has prepared you to serve him in a special way. God has given you the specific abilities and gifts that you need to be able to serve well, however God has called you, whatever your vocation is. Last week, we talked about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today, we talk about how God has called us to apply all of those talents and gifts and abilities that God gives us, which we can use to serve him and serve others in and through Christ's church. How incredible it is to know that from birth, God had granted you this ability to hone as an artist or a musician, as a cook, as a listener, as a welcoming ear, or a greeting smile. How incredible it is to know that even before the foundation of the world, God had prepared for you opportunities to put these abilities to use for his kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 2, we often talk about verses 8 and 9. By grace you are saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But the verse that comes after that kind of brings it all together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to serve him by serving others. And so, who are you? What is your place in the world? Your place is the same as Jeremiah's, though a little different by circumstance. The answer to who you are is the same as Jeremiah's answer. You are God's servant, chosen and called by him before you were even born. You are God's child, created by him and knit together in your mother's womb. You are God's, baptized and redeemed by him with his own son's blood. You have been chosen by him, given a purpose as his child. Now, this doesn't mean that God has a single profession or a single life in mind for you. God has given you all the freedom in the world to choose the way in which you are to use your gifts to serve him. However you believe that you have been called to serve God by serving your neighbor, that is your vocation, one which God blesses. God has chosen you not because of your choices, but because of his choice, because of his love. And God is with you to deliver you no matter what. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as his children and to life everlasting. Amen.